In the midst of 2020 being an absolute shit show, no joke, I mean, really, let's be honest, it was a shit show. When things get really crazy and really busy, I don't know what it is, but I just love like making things more stressful for myself. And last year, as I was starting to plan out my business while still working full-time in the corporate world, I really realized that I had challenges dating, and it wasn't like an epiphany. I've kind of known this for a while, but my challenges have always surrounded the fact that I'm really career oriented and I'm really independent. For those who are listening who know me, I am extremely introverted. I love spending time on my own, and that's just the way that I am. But I've always wondered, can I find someone that is truly a great fit for me that complements my lifestyle and complements my life? And I also wanted to make myself better and stronger in this area as like a personal development and growth opportunity to see if there were things that I could work on my own that could help me overcome some of the hangups that I've had in relationships. So I was telling my business mentor this, and she actually referred me to a therapist. And this therapist is a licensed marriage and family therapist. And she also has her doctorate in organizational leadership from USC. She actually has 3 degrees. She's pretty talented. But Christy Kadarian actually ended up becoming my dating and relationship therapist. And for some people, that probably sounds really weird because that's not normal. It's not normal, but Christy was actually a professional matchmaker. She worked at eHarmony and Match.com, and she has all of the credentials. And I've been working with Christy over the last 6 months to really challenge myself, but then also to challenge the notion that women who are entrepreneurs can still have it all. Like, if you want to have a relationship, the next big thing isn't compromising, you know, having a family for starting a business, or having, you know, a great relationship, but then maybe putting other things on the back burner. You know, some people say that you have to have balance or you have to make sacrifices, but I genuinely believe that to live the life that we want to live, we can have it all if we play our cards right and we really plan and we work on ourselves and we figure things out for ourselves. And I was really struggling with this last year because I was questioning this for myself, because I've seen my friends going and getting married and having kids, and I've just taken a different path. But that doesn't mean that that's not something I necessarily don't want for myself, of getting married or having kids or having an amazing relationship. It's more so a question of like, can I have everything that I want in my life? And so when I went to Christy and started working with her, she really helped me just overcome some of these like limiting beliefs that I have about what a healthy lifestyle and healthy relationships can look like. And I wanted to have her on the podcast for anyone else that's maybe going through something similar. Maybe you feel like if you have a family, there's like a level of guilt of starting your own company or doing your own thing. Or if you are in a relationship, maybe you think it's too late for you to start your own business. What I love about Christy is she is an entrepreneur herself. She started her own business. In fact, her domain is the best domain ever. Therapyfordating.com. Like, tell me that's not the best domain. Like, that's an amazing domain. But she really shows that you can have it all. And she's so smart. And I just love her. I'm so grateful that I've had the opportunity to work with Christy and that Christy came into my life, because she's helped me change for the better. I mean, I'm a huge advocate of therapy, but being able to talk to her for 6 months and just go through and work through some of the things that I personally wanted to work on, it really just changed my life. So I'm so excited to have her on the podcast, because I think a lot of women can relate to this. And I hope this episode inspires listeners to maybe think of their lifestyle that they want for themselves a little bit differently, or just think that it's possible. So anyway, this is probably the longest intro that I've recorded, but I hope you guys love today's episode, and I will catch you on the flip side. Okay, so excited to have Christy on the podcast today. You guys will hear my intro. Obviously, I record these before I record the intro, but Christy is the most amazing therapist, and we're just so excited to have her. And Christy, I want to start with this first question. Can we talk about the fact that you have 3 degrees?
Yes, why not?
Well, yeah, let's start with that.
I love starting with that in daily conversation. Yeah. Yes. So I have 3 degrees from the same school. So at least that shows loyalty, right?
Yeah. You're really loyal. You would say that. You're very loyal.
I have my bachelor's in psych and music industry. Initially, I wanted to pursue music supervision, which is like the people that choose the songs in TV and movies that pick.
So cool. And then that's so good for you, by the way. I feel like that's so you.
Yeah. I realized the behind the story of that is I love human emotion and connecting that with the creative side. So that's kind of followed me throughout. And then I took a class and started doing some research in marriage and family therapy. And that really aligned with my cultural background as an Armenian. It just all made sense that we develop in context to our family unit. And so in relationships kind of became the foundation for what I wanted to study and help people with in all areas. And then, so yeah, I did my master's in marriage and family therapy. I worked in marketing for a while for mental health treatment centers, as well as a therapist for women, many who struggled with anxiety and or eating disorders, and then worked with couples. And that kind of led me to working at eHarmony as a matchmaker and dating coach, and then eventually got my doctorate, which is in organizational leadership. It's basically kind of a combination of business psych and specifically leadership in like organizations and institutions. So it's kind of a mixed bag, but it all works in some ways.
And what is your official title now?
Yeah. So technically it's just Dr. Christy Kadarian. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I work as a dating and relationship coach, as well as a business coach for therapists.
Perfect. And let's talk about eHarmony for a second. So eHarmony, it's Match is like the holding company, right? That has all of these big dating apps. And when you and I worked together, you've definitely referenced some things that you learned from working there. What are some like the biggest takeaways that you have and things that have just like stuck with you?
Yeah. So eHarmony and Match are kind of the two big companies. So Match is owned by Spark Group, but basically they own a lot of the little dating sites under them. And then eHarmony is now owned by a company in Europe. So both of them were sold. But at eHarmony specifically, I think what was really interesting to me is learning about the research on compatibility, and specifically the founder, Dr. Neil Clark Warren, came up with 29 dimensions of compatibility. And I like the countercultural approach that he really found in his research that is anti all the rom-coms we see and opposites attract and all of these things that actually aren't backed up by research are what has shaped a lot of what we believe about dating and relationships and how people find love. So I really loved learning the science, and obviously being a therapist and being a lifelong learner, I want to know the facts and the science behind things. So learning that really helped to pave the way for how I work with people. So learning things like actually the more similar you are in some important ways to your potential partner, the more likely you are to end up in a happy, long-lasting relationship, and kind of what are some of the qualities and ways you want to be similar with people. So kind of helping people flip those narratives on their head and really focusing on what's important. Which is that also chemistry is really important. It's not everything, but it is necessary. So certain things like that, I think, were really helpful to learn there and have the science and research to back it up with people I love working with, which are also people that want to know the science behind it. And so that was one of the biggest takeaways from working with these research-backed companies that have some actual facts of, okay, some of it is happenstance, and some of it is, you know, there is that element of art. I like to say it's like a combination of an art and a science. There is that, you know, moment, meet cute, what have you, that you do meet that person, but a lot of it is backed up with what we know about compatibility. So it's nice to come into something that a lot of people feel there isn't a strategy or science to, and back that up and give people that security as well.
Love that. Yeah. So many people probably just think that it's like fate, mm-hmm. right? Or so mm-hmm. many of these other things that we're going to get to. And yeah. they don't actually acknowledge that it can be backed by research and science. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. what was your single life like before you got married, and how did you meet your husband?
Yeah. So my single life was pretty interesting. I was one of the people that actually enjoyed dating. I mean, blame it on the day job, but I was single for most of when I was a matchmaker. And so that was kind of interesting, in some ways exhausting, because I would, you know, date for my clients during the day, and then I'd be great. Now I gotta keep doing this for myself. But it was an endless like curiosity about dating and love and relationships. It was kind of like an early interest of mine. So I, even when things didn't work out, I would just be like, wow, this is so interesting. I wonder what happened. So I was somebody that really did enjoy the dating process. Obviously it came with a lot of heartbreak, but a lot of the strategies that now are part of what I teach clients came from my own experiences. And so that is a really rewarding full circle moment in a lot of ways. But I would go on dating apps with this, like, you know, the focus of wanting a serious relationship, wanting to find a partner. And I wouldn't go on too many dates. So I was very selective on who I actually went on the date with. I would do some chatting. I would, ask powerful questions like I teach clients to do. And then if they kind of passed those tests, then I would go on the dates. And then typically I pretty much knew within a few dates if somebody was long-term potential for me. So, and this is something I teach clients too, how to kind of know if someone's the right person within a few dates, or if they have that potential at least. So I was really cognizant of some red flags and what worked or didn't. Ironically enough, before I was on dating apps, most of my relationships were long distance within my community. And I learned a lot through that too. And then I ended up meeting my husband on a dating app as well, which was kind of fun for me now, as I'm telling people who don't like being on dating apps and you can't find somebody. I was like, yeah, you can, because I did. Yeah. But we met after I had just got out of seeing someone. It wasn't a serious relationship, but it was around Christmas time, and I love Christmas time, and I hate being single, like, or dumped right before Christmas time. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go back on the apps. My friends supported me in that. I thought maybe I should just finish working my dissertation, and after that's done, think about dating and love. But they were like, you know, just do it. It'll be a good distraction. And then the first person I matched with was my husband. And ironically enough, our families knew each other. My community is really small, like when we grew up, but it was just timing and the fact that, we were both ready, that, you know, Bumble was the app we met on, kind of put us in front of each other. And ironically enough, he lives so close to me, we could have bumped in a million times, but I think
that's so weird.
Yeah, the beauty of dating apps is that you can just meet somebody that you wouldn't have had right in front of you. You wouldn't have, you know, maybe approached them at a coffee shop. And So I think that we're kind of that like poster child. Shout out to Bumble. And there's no relationship there with me and them. I'm not a paid advertiser.
Not sponsored.
Yeah,
not Bumble.
Sponsored. Yeah. It was just like a cool experience to have that success story and encourage people with that too.
Love it. Okay, so I wanted to have you on the podcast because really I feel like now more than ever, women are career oriented, but they also want to have it all. And I really feel like celebrating having it all is like the next big thing. Like, I feel like in the past, it's always been, you have to make some kind of like compromise or sacrifice to have everything that you want in your life. But I really find that as time goes on, women are really vying to say like, I want it all. I want the relationship. I want the career. I want the family, you name it. That's what I want. So what do you believe is like really the biggest misconception when it comes to dating for women that want to have it all?
Great question. It is the next big thing to have it all. I agree.
Yeah.
And I personally think that most of the time what we believe, and this could be influenced from you know, how we've seen our parents, you know, raise a family or balance raising a family and working, what we see in society, and also what we believe around our limitations. These are all things that come as blocks to the belief that we can have a thriving business that we love and have a family as women. And I think that a lot of this has to do with the concept of limiting beliefs. So this belief that we're more afraid of success than we are of failure. And that was something that was really core to my own journey, is this belief that success disconnects me from people that I love. So I, culturally, you know, it's not as normal for women to go to the doctoral level, in my background. And people told me, especially when you're single, people, very loving extended family members told me, oh, are you sure you want to get your doctor? Because no guy is going to like you anymore.
In so many words. That's what they said. Yeah.
But this is one of those things that I think we all have these messages. Oh, okay. If I'm too successful as a woman, then I'm going to, my pool of men is going to be limited. Or, you know, we kind of have these beliefs around success that really limit us from thinking about what's really possible. And once we really get to the core, maybe we saw that in a family dynamic or a friend that had a similar dynamic, maybe there was resentment there. Once we get to the core of where that belief comes from, then we can do the work of questioning it and actually look at the evidence where that's not true. Where has success in your life actually brought more connection rather than disconnection to people? And the more you work on yourself, the higher you go. Yeah, there is that saying that it's lonelier at the top, but the more rewarding those connections are going to be because you're really living into your full potential.
Got it. That's really interesting. What would you say for people who are in the entrepreneurial space specifically? Do you notice specific trends with these people when it comes to dating, or like things that have evolved over time that you notice that maybe weren't the case before, like maybe certain habits? Like, I know you talk about texting a lot. Like, what are things that people are doing nowadays that you maybe are kind of like, not super into it?
Yeah. So I think that, and entrepreneurs are some of the people that I love working with the most, being one as well, but I understand this, you know, shortage of time and energy really, because right, you're birthing a baby if you're in business, and basically as a single parent, you're birthing a baby, and that takes a lot of time and energy that then is not invested into, you know, dating and relationships. So what I really like to say is building in dating as a habit into your lifestyle can be a lot less overwhelming than feeling like, okay, I'm going to give myself a month of really intense swiping, and then I'm going to find my soulmate through that. And putting that pressure really leads to burnout. So in the same way that it's important for an entrepreneur to carve out space for dreaming and visioning or exercise or, you know, these little breaks within your day, I think that building that in, even if it's, you know, 5 minutes of focus on your longer term goal of finding the right person, I think that's a really important thing to do, rather than feeling like, okay, I'm just going to totally wait until my business is fully launched and then I will do that. If there's any like it when then thinking, I would really question that and say, okay, maybe there's little spaces I can invest in this area. Obviously, there are times when we have to go all hands on deck, we're launching or whatever. But I really believe in more of like a work-life harmony than work-life balance. I think working in things to your day that you know are going to help you lead to the eventual person that you want to be is where the focus should be at, rather than feeling like, okay, I'm all in. And entrepreneurs can be really all in on one thing, but with dating, trying to view it more as like an extra, how you would for exercise or any other thing that you need to build into your daily life in order to get the end result, is more of the perspective I really encourage entrepreneurs to have, rather than the all or nothing approach.
Love that. So true. What about, what are your thoughts on people who might make excuses about living in the town that they live in and dating within their town and just being like, there's no people here? Like, do you believe that that's the case for people that are really busy and using the apps? Like, maybe they just feel like they've run out of people. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
That's a great question. I think a lot of times when I worked in matchmaking, there were people that I felt like lived in the wrong city for what they were looking for.
You're like, actually, you need to move.
Yeah, actually, you need to move. You know, if you know you're a city person and you're in a really rural area that you're not finding anyone that's a fit, I think that's a really valid thing to think about. But I think it's also about figuring out what your main qualities that are important to you are, and having that laser focus around those qualities is really, really important. So you're not getting sidetracked by things you think could be important, but they're not really. For example, you know, maybe you want someone who has a similar entrepreneurial mindset, but you live in towns that people might have more traditional jobs. Maybe there's a way that you can see somebody as having that entrepreneurial mindset or growth mindset and not be so tied down to their job description as a deal breaker. So there's things that you want to think about. You know, maybe you don't see yourself in that town forever, but maybe there could be someone who has a flexible mindset and would be willing to move and wants to have, you know, a similar lifestyle as you. So I would really encourage you not to put people into a box or make those assumptions before you actually get to know them and see, you know, maybe they don't want to live in that town forever either. But having that kind of open mind, I think, can help you see some gems you might have missed out on before.
Ooh, that's good. I like that advice. That's so true. So that you're not just like completely like talking yourself out of where you live.
Exactly.
What about, so that's a good segue into my next question. Like, you talked about opposites attract, and like love at first sight, I feel like, is another thing that people talk about. But what are good indications that two people are genuinely well suited for each other? Coming from your perspective, like, what do you see?
Great question. I think from the get-go, there has to be a similarity of your mindset. So what I said, like people either really valuing security or being really open to new experiences. So two people who are on the extremes of that are not going to be a good fit. Similarly, if someone really values, you know, relationships and someone else really values their work-life environment, you're going to want to see where that where that middle ground is as well. So it's ultimately first, you have to see where the values are and what you want your life to look like. I always say, like, if your futures don't align, then you might not be the right fit. So if someone wants to have kids, but you don't want to have kids, that's a, you know, big deal breaker. But if their idea of the future is living in that small town forever and yours is, you know, building an empire in the city, you know, these are things that don't align. So
wait, can I jump in really quickly? Yeah. What about for people who think that that can be changed? Like, you know how some people will date and they'll be like, but I think he's going to change his mind. Or like, I think like with kids, I feel like that happens a lot. Like, what is your advice on that in that situation?
Yeah, I really recommend that you take people at your word. I think it's Maya Angelou that said, but when people tell you who they are, believe them.
Yes.
So I really live by that. And I think it's better to be decisive earlier. Dr. Neil Clark Warren finds this in his research too, because the more emotionally invested you are in that person, the harder it is for you to be okay with leaving them, where maybe your life is actually not aligned with what theirs is. And then you end up giving up on your dreams and being resentful of that person. So the earlier on you know that something's a deal breaker for you, the better it is to kind of shift from that. You know, if they're open, if they're like, yeah, I think I'm open to it with the right person, that's totally different than no, I don't want to have kids, you know? So it's more of a kind of understanding that piece. But if it's a values difference or a future difference, I would say it's probably not a fit. And learning how to ask these questions earlier on before you, you know, are really connected emotionally to them is really important, because you want to have the opportunity and the freedom to say, okay, I've asked what I need to ask, but I'm not too emotionally invested to settle for a life that I don't want.
Love it. That makes perfect sense. And I feel like that happens all the time. Yes, so I just wanted to clarify that. Mm-hmm. What about, I find your story so interesting, because we haven't had someone in your position on the podcast before. And I feel like you're really carving this path for therapists who maybe don't want to go down the traditional like career path of like having a traditional practice, really.
Yeah.
And why did you decide to kind of like carve this out for yourself, coming from like the corporate world and your degrees? Like, what was the voice inside your head telling you like this was the right move?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that the big thing for me was that I know myself so well, and I did the work to get to know myself really well to understand that I am not going to be the typical therapist that is seeing like 30 to 40 clients one-on-one a week. And that was fulfilling enough for me. I think I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit and a vision, and really saw myself as a visionary. And by nature, I'm kind of a connector and someone who, you know, I did connecting for a living when I was a matchmaker, but I kind of knew myself really well and knew that that wasn't a fit for me, like right off the bat. So I think that that's a really big key that changed my life, basically life trajectory, of even when it was getting judged and criticized by other therapists that, oh, you know, you're doing this as well. Like it's kind of the cheaper, like the not as valuable option versus being a full-time therapist. I was willing and okay to sticking to that because I knew that I wasn't going to be true to myself and my full potential and that creative entrepreneurial spirit if I just, you know, lived inside the boxes that were, you know, planned before.
That's kind of like the like industry standard, yeah, really. Exactly. And it's kind of crazy too when you and I were chatting before about the amount of people that like a therapist sees per week, yeah, is overwhelming. Like I can't even imagine, like people say that they get Zoom fatigue. I'm like, mm-hmm, oh my God, if I was a therapist, I would just lose my mind. Like I'd, yeah, go, mm-hmm, crazy. When these other therapists were kind of challenging this path that you were going down, what were you doing that was so different than what they were used to?
Yeah. So when I was getting in the process of getting licensed, it's, you know, you have to see clients for 3,000 hours in order to be a licensed professional. And that takes a long time. And a lot of people dive into that process, try to get as many hours as possible so that they can get licensed kind of towards this finish line. And knowing myself, I was like, it's okay if I take the longer road, I need to do something else with my energy. So I started doing marketing in mental health for treatment centers, which was really exciting for me. I got to travel all over the world, really, but all over the US, listen to the top leaders. I love learning. So got to do represent the treatment centers in this way that was related to mental health, but wasn't therapy. On the side, I was doing my hours at a slower pace. And then that really opened up my eyes to the possibilities of what my education could bring me rather than just accept that, oh, this is what therapists do. You either work here or you work here. And that really helped me kind of lean into my skills of, wow, I like marketing and I learned about business. And that really inspired me to go, you know, do my doctorate as well to learn about how we can apply mental health in so many different areas. And then that kind of keep saying yes to opportunities that were outside of my norm or comfort zone. When they first offered me that job, I was like, yeah, I've never taken a marketing class in my life, but sure, I'll do it, you know? And I was okay with that. I think that's a big difference with a lot of people that really want to be the expert in every area before they say yes to something. So saying yes in those situations that were uncomfortable really equipped me for where I am now as an entrepreneur and saying yes all the time to things that I feel like I'm not ready for quite yet. So I think that's a big key. That was a big key in my journey.
Yeah. And also too, you're setting this example for other therapists who might have this spark of a thought, but just think that it's not possible because of feeling almost like pigeonholed in your degree. It's like you can't go back from that, you know? Totally. So it's like you're giving them different paths that they can take and, yeah, showing them that like you don't have to do just like the one thing that you went to school for. Mm-hmm. You can layer things on and still be really successful.
Totally. Yeah. And I think that, you know, in a lot of, you know, for the so many difficult things that the pandemic brought, I think for therapists specifically, the resistance towards being online or marketing online or doing online therapy, even that was such a big area of controversy within the industry. And this totally flipped on its head and it forced everybody to go online and now that's more of a norm and it's creating so much more access to people and opening a lot of therapists' eyes to, you know, the online coaching space and how we have so much knowledge that we can share and really creating more points of access helps to solve our problem of accessibility in the mental health space. So I think it's really opened up the industry's eyes to, yeah, we can't just resist being online and connecting how the rest of the world does.
Did you read my notes before this? Because I definitely was about to ask you about COVID, which I agree. The fact that, because for those of you listening, Christy's in LA, I'm in Chicago, and we started working together in 2020. And that was great because I would have never worked with you if we had done like the traditional ways of working. So even that was really nice. But how has COVID in your mind even challenged the advice that you give clients or advice that you give therapists, like when it comes to this new way? Because COVID, obviously, you know, from a dating POV has been really difficult, but I know you've been coaching your clients through that. Like what has your advice been?
Yeah, I think that a lot of my advice has been around mindset, because I think when COVID started specifically for single people, all of a sudden all the dreams of finding your person kind of went down the tube for so many people, and they felt like, well, I just can't date anymore, but they weren't willing to see the opportunities available. And I think the more open-minded you can be in general in your life, the more positive your relationships are going to be. So you're going to attract other people who are open-minded and flexible. I say that flexible, being agreeable and flexible are basically the number one things you should look for in a partner, someone you can go through life with, the ups and downs, you know, you guys can work together and feel that partnership. And if we're not able to demonstrate that when all the entire, you know, many industries, but the entire dating scene shifts, then likely you're not going to find someone who's similarly open-minded and flexible as well. So I think a big thing is kind of practicing that with dating during COVID was huge for so many people to say, this is still my goal. I'm going to be creative about how I can get there and still be working towards it. Obviously, you don't know if you're going to find your person. You don't know when that's going to happen, but demonstrating that flexibility and open-mindedness to yourself is going to be a huge learning growth that's going to be so beneficial for a relationship. So that's the number one thing that I would say for singles specifically, and pretty much the same for therapists, that learning how to trust yourself and be creative about what people's needs are and how to meet them during this time, it really helps you grow as a business owner, essentially. And you're also helping your clients do that, because if you can't be flexible and creative, it's really hard to take clients further than you've gone yourself. So it's like we have to kind of do that inner work in order to attract and build on the outside.
I love it. And you're doing such a good job. I know we're bouncing back and forth between like dating and clients and then therapists, because you have both clients, right, on both sides. So you're doing a good job like fielding questions from both sides, because I know it's definitely more, it's trickier than just being on one side of things. But I'm really curious for your POV on this, because we talk about, especially women in this like career-oriented mindset of wanting it all. And now more than ever, I mean, I think you and I were talking about this when we first started working together, of just the fact that more and more women, like you really recommend people who are looking for healthy relationships, like give it some time. And then if they're in their 30s, it's like a good time to really be finding like that person. It's not to say that it can't work out before that, but like it's, you're just like at a point of development in a certain life stage where it lends itself to an easier time maybe of finding a relationship. I'm probably not phrasing this the best way that I could be, but what are pieces of advice for people who are maybe like have been so career focused? I mean, I'm literally asking a question that I would have asked you, but because I'm this person, but for people that are like so career focused and maybe now are in their 30s and like, okay, I want to meet this person. Cause I just had another podcast interview this morning. We're talking about being single in our 30s. It's like, you want to find someone and you want to find a healthy, long lasting relationship. And like, what are the biggest pieces of advice in general that you could give to someone seeking that?
Yeah. I think that like you said, the likelihood of getting married every year you wait to get married in your 30s, you lessen your chances of divorce. The percentage goes down simultaneous with how much older you are above the age of 30. And the marriage age has, the average has increased more than it ever has been. So now the average age age of marriage. I think it's 29 for women, 31 for men.
So wow.
Older than any time in history. So this is a very common problem now that we're, not problem, but dilemma that women in their 30s are having to make those choices of, okay, biological clock. I want to have a family. I want to date. It needs to happen in this time. And what that's doing, I think, is increasing the pressure on the relationship. And simultaneously, we're getting to know ourselves a lot better. By the time you're in your 30s, you ideally have a more solid sense of self, your brain's more fully developed. So that's kind of creating a smaller pool, quote unquote, of what you're looking for. That's why the number one piece of advice I have is that you, whatever it looks like for you, you build out a dating strategy that works in your long-term goals in small bite-sized pieces throughout your, day or week or month. And you kind of schedule that out like you would anything in your business. People who are entrepreneurs are very focused, very strategic, very, go-getter about their business. And they, build out those things that are important to them. But when with relationships feel like, oh, I should just show up and it should happen. You wouldn't do that with launching a business overnight. So
that's so true. It's like, why would you change that for dating? You wouldn't.
Why would you expect that for dating? Exactly. So I think that that's a really important thing to keep in mind as well. And second, I think that it's also really important to do that internal work and figure out what you want your life to look like. Because ultimately, if you know that you're an entrepreneur for life, you're going to build out an empire in business, you really need to find someone who's going to work with that in your life. That's not likely going to change for you if you're already in your 30s, your personality type. If you're really driven, you're not going to be able to just shift that or pretend you're not like that. So you really step into owning and embracing who you are if you're a strong, driven woman, rather than kind of being ashamed or feeling like you need to make yourself smaller to fit in a relationship. That's really not going to work. So it's better to step in, embrace, and really do that inner work, with maybe a coach or a therapist, someone who's going to help you embrace that, rather than feeling like, okay, I won't be like that later when my business is all settled and then I'll have more time to fit someone in. You really have to do that hard work now so that when that person comes in, you're not like, now I need to change my entire life just for this person. A lot of resentment and unhealthy dynamics in a relationship.
Totally. That's a great answer. How do you think dating and finding love is going to evolve as time goes on?
Wow, good question.
predict the future for us, please. Thank you.
I really think that the one benefit of online dating during the pandemic has been that people are a lot more open to sharing more virtually rather than just saying, hey, let's grab a drink and learn all of that then. Especially if you're an entrepreneur, the amount of time and energy invested in going on a full evening of drinks and maybe dinner is a lot more, and it's going to feel a lot more taxing than just like talking, asking more questions, getting to know someone virtually in a deeper way to kind of pass the test. So I really think that the virtual date is going to become more of the first date, and people are going to be more comfortable connecting and sharing more on that rather than just saying, hey, let's just meet. So I think that's a positive. It's going to save time and energy. And then you're going to meet with people that you already think could have a really good connection. And I also think that, online dating was kind of slowly slipping away because of dating app fatigue. But I think it's kind of gotten a second wind here because of the pandemic, ironically enough. But I also think that that's a good thing because it's helping connect people that you might not meet organically during the pandemic. So I think that it's going to, now that we're all a lot more accustomed to being virtual in many aspects of life that some of us weren't before the pandemic, it's going to be more natural and people are going to accept it even more than before. I think that last year, a stat I heard were that 49% of couples met online, understandably, because it's 2020.
Wow. But that's still crazy, though.
Exactly. So I think that it's kind of going to reduce the stigma, and hopefully the apps can create the technology that's going to help it reduce the stigma as well.
Yeah, absolutely. What about the future of therapy? I thought your points earlier were really interesting. It's kind of like therapists have to start to adopt to a new way of conducting their business. But like, where do you see the future of therapy and even like access to therapy headed for people that are in the field?
Yeah, I think that a lot of positives from COVID for therapists was that the reach of access, it was really helpful. I know recently I've heard a lot of therapists are just booked out. They don't have any spots available. And this is difficult for the fact that so many people are seeking therapy during these times as they've been really challenging on mental health in general. So I think the fact that now, at least within the state, therapists can see people all throughout the state is a really great benefit. I hope that the value of therapy will increase to people, knowing that there's been a huge toll on mental health, and seeing therapy as an investment and as a way to kind of build productivity, specifically if you're an entrepreneur focused on that, that you can see that as an investment in yourself, which then is an investment in your business. I hope that that's going to shift as well because of what we've all experienced this year.
Totally. I'm so excited for that, for people that are going into this field to see that therapy now is more openly discussed and more openly needed than ever before, right? Like before it was kind of like hush hush, I feel like to say that you went to therapy was like not a thing. Right. And now it's really cool that people are so open about it, so open about talking about it, which means for therapists, it's like their referral network and their ability to scale and grow their business is a lot greater, which is great.
Yeah. And hopefully that can help them believe that there are more points of access. So you can create a course, you can create an online, like that there's so much more we can offer in so many different ways to people rather than forcing people, all people into a one-on-one therapy model.
Yes.
That might not be the best fit for where they're at.
Oh, I love it. Okay. So, well, first of all, this was great and you know your shit. I mean, I know you know your shit because we've working together for 6 months, but also because you look at stats and science and you're a very positive person, but you're not super woo-woo and you know what works and what doesn't. And I just love that you reference that throughout all of this. How can people, because I know people are going to feel so inspired after listening to this, like how can people work with you, whether they're in the same field that you're in or whether they're seeking therapy themselves? Like what are you working on right now?
Thanks, Sam. That's so sweet of you. I adore you fully. So people can find me on Instagram at @DrChristy. And then on my website, therapyfordating.com, I have some cool offers coming up this year, specifically for therapists that want to learn how to scale and create multiple income streams online. And then also for singles who are hoping to find love this year, I'm going to be talking a lot about those offers on social media as well as on my website. So you can check me out on either of those platforms.
Okay, cool. And what is your website?
Therapyfordating.com.
Oh my God, what a great domain. Yeah. Yeah, so you swooped in.
I know.
You swooped in on that one.
And it was like really cheap too. I was like, oh my God, meant to be. No, it was like $5 or something.
What a steal.
Next year, I know.
Oh my God. Talk about like the SEO value in that. I'm like jealous. It's like so hard to find domains like that.
I knew you'd be proud.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. All right. Well, this is great. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. And I can't wait for people to listen to this. It's going to be great.
Thanks, Sam.
This was such a special episode for me. I hope you guys loved listening to Christy. She's amazing. I mean, she's just a rock star. And I love this mentality and this path that she's paving for other women in this industry to recognize that they can have it all. You can have it all. And it is the next big thing is women being able to do it all. Society has told us that we can't do it all, but we really can. And I hope this episode inspires you to think differently about your relationships or dating, because obviously Christy's helped me so much, but even just in this conversation, I feel like I learned something new. And if you loved today's episode, please go ahead and give us 5 stars if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts. Just swipe up. It's super easy. It takes 1 minute. And if you have extra time, please write us a review. It goes such a long way. And I know I say this every single week, but I really want to grow this podcast in 2021 and get it in front of more people because I know that our message and our guests are resonating with people. I get the feedback and I appreciate it so much when I am able to see that I'm helping you guys. So if you have a second, it would mean the absolute world to me. And thank you again, Christy, for coming on the episode. You are just a bright light and I'm so happy that we met and connected. So thanks you guys for listening and I will catch you next week.